I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
I'll call the question. All those in favor of Commissioner Moffitt?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Commissioner Moffitt?
We're going for experience here.
President.
Okay, thank you. I think it's rather interesting to me that the item on the agenda that we're about to discuss is one that I had looked forward to bringing forward sometime this year, but certainly not yet. But we're here, so let's do it.
VP and Secretary.
That's right.
I'll entertain nominations for Vice President.
Jack Scarborough.
I'll second that.
For what position?
Vice President.
Vice President.
I decline.
You're waiting for that Secretary, aren't you?
I nominate Jim Blecker for Vice President.
I'll second that.
Oh, that's me.
That's all you.
All of those in favor, please respond.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And may we have nomination for Secretary, please?
I'll nominate Jack Scarborough.
I'll second that.
Yeah, that's right.
Gotcha. Before you can decline, all of those in favor, please respond. Okay, Jack. I'll serve as the president, and will be vice president, and Jack, again, will be secretary. At this point on the agenda, it's appropriate for any members of the public who would like to address issues that are not on the agenda to do so at this time, and to identify yourself and give us your place of residence, please. Who would like to address any item not on the agenda?
I have a couple items, Madam Chair. Jay Elder, Harbor Manager, Port St. Louis. Some of you have recently received your Form 700 for filing. There's a seminar in San Luis Obispo at the City Hall, I believe, on February 15th. If you need any help filling those Form 700s out, let us know. It's put on by the Fair Political Practice Board. Or if you have any questions, we can help you. And that's to go over the alternatives or options that were developed by the regional workholders group that was reported earlier to you with regards to fishery closures on the Central Coast. So if you need any more additional information, we can provide that to the Commission.
Thank you for your attention to that item, Jay. The next item on the agenda are the discussion items. Item 6A. Let me ask, do any members of the public want to have a copy of our staff report as we go through this?
Has it been revised?
No, it has not.
What was the question? I'm sorry.
I asked if any members of the public would like to review the staff report on this item as we work through it.
We do have extra copies here.
We have extra copies available if you'd like to have a copy.
We did give Commissioner Kriowski a request for board consideration to add consent agenda L with regards to CMANC. Communications were received yesterday after the agenda was published with information unbeknownst to us in regards to the Golden State reception and a request for contribution from the Harbor District. So we'd like to request that be considered.
Okay.
I think Mr. Kriowski passed out a staff report. That would require a vote of the Harbor Commission to add it to the agenda.
Then we have some housekeeping to address. Do we have a motion then, please, to add the CMANC item to the consent item, please?
I'll move.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. All of those in favor, please respond.
Aye.
Okay. Now we can get on to the item 6A, is the PG&E's team generator replacement, coastal access mitigation status and policy. The way I would like to do this item, there are in our staff report that there are three items that our board is being asked to take action on. I'd like to have each one of these treated individually, so I'm going to ask our staff to give an overall presentation and then introduce the first item, and then we'll go on to the other two items, so that we'll have
This is a review of some items that came up during a Planning Commission meeting of January the 12th. Prior to that meeting, district staff, the Lighthouse Committee, Lighthouse Keepers, PG&E, and the county had worked on several access mitigations as part of the conditions of approval for PG&E's steam generator replacement project. The replacement project itself is not part of the discussion, only the coastal access mitigations. We communicated with the county. The county issued a set of conditions of approval in their staff report that went out prior to the January 12th meeting. Those conditions of approval as they relate to access are addressed in toto in the staff report. On reading those, staff wrote some comments on those and submitted those to the county staff. And those comments were incorporated for the most part, but not in their entirety, into a revised set of access conditions that were distributed at the Planning Commission on January the 12th. And those you see in your staff report on page 2, where I've either struck through or underlined the changes the county staff made to those initial mitigations. The Planning Commission meeting, as for those of you who did not hear, was rather long. And finally, the item that started at about 9 o'clock adjourned at about, or was completed at about 9 o'clock that evening with a Planning Commission that had been deadlocked but ended up voting to deny the project on procedural grounds solely to move it forward. The project that was denied was actually the building of some temporary buildings and a permanent building to house the old steam generators. I had actually left the meeting when I thought that the discussion of coastal access was over, but reviewed a video of the meeting The eventual action to deny was made by Commissioner Bob Rose based on inadequate coastal access. And this speaks to some of the other items that came up during the discussion at the Planning Commission that were not addressed in the initial county staff report and had not been addressed as a part of any of the proposed mitigations put forward by the district. Because the action was denied, it has been appealed to the Board of Supervisors, and is currently tentatively set for hearing by the Board of Supervisors on March the 7th, which will be precisely a week after our next meeting. So, as you said, Chairman Moffitt, there are three fundamental policy questions that we're asking of the Board to give staff direction. And under recommendation, see, there's a fourth, which is just the district position on the coastal access conditions of approval as they were written in the staff report. So as we get into the staff report as written, the first policy question that we've got here is that we put before the commission this evening is, does Port San Luis Harbor District support moving the security gate past the Lighthouse Road intersection? As I said, in the revised conditions of approval submitted by county staff to the Planning Commission, the actual language that addressed this item said, contribute up to $300,000 or construct the equivalent to remove barriers to coastal access from Avila Beach Drive to the Point San Luis Lighthouse. So that was the condition as written, and But the question comes up, does that mean moving the gate? There were several two of the commissioners expressed interest in seeing the gate moved. Several lighthouse keepers spoke in favor of moving the gate. And the Planning Commission asked the Harbor Commission to look at this item so that there could be a Harbor Commission position on this should such be needed in the future. Staff at this point is recommending that the commission not necessarily support this idea. Staff feels that there are beneficial effects of having the security gate located where it is, and that in effect we get good services from that gate at no cost to the district. A fundamental change occurred in access protocols through the gate last summer. Prior to that time, if somebody had wanted, this evening asked me, in fact, and I realized I didn't know the answer, what then happens to that information? And we found out that that information goes to the watch commander and is then kept, and then as that group leaves the lighthouse, the information is shredded, so it's not kept or stored. In our recommendation to the Planning Commission, and as written into the revised conditions of approval, we want to make sure that we don't get some email at some point in the future that changes that back. And so we want an access protocol no more restrictive than that currently in place enshrined. And that will come as part of a discussion on one of the other items. That was mentioned in county staff's report, that submittal of that personal information as a significant barrier to coastal access. I think my feeling is that if we enshrine that requirement, that not return that level of submittal of personal information, then that particular barrier to coastal access has been removed. As I said, too, staff feels that there's benefits to the district in the services that PG&E provides by being there where they are. I'm not going to begin to speak to PG&E's concerns that they may have about moving the gate, and I don't even know if they have any. The rest of our comments are pretty much laid out in the staff report, so unless Mr. Earl's got anything to add, I'll take questions.
I'd like to add just a couple of things, but before I do that, Madam Chair, if I could maybe ask for some consideration. I'd like to recognize a couple of people, dignitaries here this evening. Stuart Jenkins, previous Harbor Commissioner. Welcome, sir. Good to have you here.
It's good to be here.
Feels like old times.
It's good to see the process of democracy at its best, most basic level.
Thank you, Stuart.
Stuart was here with Commissioner Bleckett and Commissioner Moffitt back in the old days. It was over at the Yacht Club. I think we were meeting when another dignitary here, Mr. Andrew Merriam, was presenting our 1980s master plan to us. I'd like to welcome Andrew, who I understand is the newly elected president of the Lighthouse Keepers.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Yes.
Welcome, Andrew.
And then, last but not least, I'd like to recognize the president of AVAC, Carlin Bittner. Again, decided to take over chair, I think, because no one else wanted to. Tail end of the Planning Commission meeting a few weeks ago, and took some notes with regards to what Mr. Gibson and Ms. Christie were speaking to, and the three things that jumped out at me was, and was asked by them to the Harbor Commission, was these three questions. So I wanted, in respect to the County Planning Commission, I wanted to ask those questions this evening or bring them to the board in a timely manner. We weren't sure what the Planning Commission was going to do or how soon it was going to be on the Board of Supervisors agenda, so we wanted to get it to the Commission in a timely manner. Therefore, it's scheduled this evening. I would like to request that we, as the Chair has pointed out, that we'll go item by item and stay focused on those questions. I would caution the board to deviate and talk about steam generators or the permitting process, because that's not within our purview or our permit authority. We're not regulatory in that way. I would like to again remind the commission that Commissioner Kriowski, as president last year, with the assistant of staff, sent a 21-page comment letter during the draft EIR period on the steam generator, raising a number of questions that the board has concerns over. And that's of record, and I think that record speaks for itself, and I don't know that it requires any additional discussion this evening. We're not prepared to go into the idiosyncrasies of steam generation. The question here tonight mainly is lighthouse and access.
Gee, might I interject there to my recollection as well, so that we don't belabor points that have been addressed by the commission. It's difficult to go back and go through records that are certainly available. This issue relative to relocation of gates, it's my recollection that this issue has come before the commission before we've addressed it.
Let's wait until we...
And maybe if you want to address that, that has been the case, and we can address that later. It's up to the chair.
Okay.
Another broad point I would like to make is that we are in discussions and have been in discussions with our neighbor, PG&E, with regards to other properties in the valley here that they hold and that we have an interest in. That are not specifically tied to the lighthouse or specifically to the Diablo Canyon Road or the gate. So the board needs to take into consideration any decisions that you might take on how that might affect those discussions. The staff recommendations were based on what we've heard comments coming from the commission in the past and what we think is best for the Harbor District. And unless the Harbor Commission takes a change in tact, whatever your decisions are, we will implement them.
And thank you, Jay. With that, I'll bring it to the board, and individual board members, then we'll address your questions to the staff.
Sure. This thing came up pretty quickly in my book. You know, all of a sudden the Planning Commission, you know, hits... I mean, instead of coming to the board, they were hitting you guys up, which is fine, but then you have to go back and try to resurrect a staff position, which is the Harbor District position, which really should have come from the board, I would think, you know?
I think if I can answer that, Jim, working with the commission, through the committee, I think Brian and Carolyn are on the Lighthouse Committee, and with the Lighthouse Keepers, we formulated an access goals, and it was based on the master plan. We reported that to the commission in 2004, what our goals were, the road, access to the road and pier, and easier access through the gate, which we did receive last year through a change in policy July 29, 2005. So the commission has been advised of that. These questions were not made, we were not made aware of those until the 12th of this month.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
So this is all new to us.
Right.
Correct.
Right. And so how did that happen that way?
The Planning Commission sits as its own advisors, and they one or two planning commissioners had ideas that they were floating out there, and they were directed at this board.
There had been some informal hallway discussions.
We met with PG&E and the county in a pre-consultation prior to the staff report, and those weren't put on the table. These questions were not put on the table at that time.
That's my point. I mean, I'm just trying to figure out how this process works. You know, I mean, it seems to me that this is a fairly big issue, and that you know it should have been addressed formally by the board, you know, a little bit more than, you know, sort of, you know, do something tonight for the first time that we've mm-hmm. sort of heard it. That's not to say that all of these issues haven't been discussed. I mean, I can sit here and tell you that I've been on the board long enough to have had at least three discussions about moving the gate.
Part of some of the planning commissioners to include this item they considered it to be an appropriate time to include this as a condition for now.
I'm trying to understand procedure as well. I understand what the intent was of the commissioners on the Planning Commission, but there was
there was a lot of work that was put in. There were a lot of discussions. And I don't have as much experience and time on the commission as President Moffitt and Commissioner Blecka. But I know that we've dealt with this. If I'm right, I'd like my memory to be served with the help of staff.
In February of 2004, there was a comment in the ISFAS Environmental Impact Report. Our comments to that Environmental Impact Report included a discussion at this board with regards to movement of the gate, and there was no clear resolution to it, but the dialogue, and this sitting board here was the same commission members, indicated a disfavor in moving the gate at that time. I also recall shortly thereafter discussion with Bob Besley and or Brent Roberts with regards to the board's dialogue that evening, and had some discussions with the lighthouse keepers with regards to not being interested in that gate movement, and thus our staff.
I wanted to find out, I think we also had discussion at a Harbor District meeting relative to our master plan adoption.
There was a question, a questionnaire that was sent out and asked of some 3,000 citizens with regards. One of the comments that did come back was move the gate,
okay.
And that was presented to the commission by your consultants, and we don't have it. We haven't listened to the tape, and the records are pure.
But outlandish. I just to refresh my recollection, and I do remember that, and I do know that yes, I have been on the Lighthouse Committee, and a lot of people have participated, including Bob and Susan, and a lot of hard work. And I just want to make sure that we adopted a procedure that has been followed. These are two questions, respectfully, great questions, but making sure that we're continuing on in a timeline and in a timely fashion that serves the needs of all parties and interests, and most importantly, the lighthouse keepers in Fort St. Louis Harbor District preeminently. So I just wanted to clarify that.
A question for you, Jay. And the question, I'm reading from question two, and it is, this is hypothetical, would the Port St. Louis Harbor District accept an offer to dedicate the Pecho Coast Trail, well, parentheses, real property ownership. I suppose that's a lot line adjustment. This relates to a question of how we got there.
Okay.
How we got there, and it's and then your recommendation is from staff. If offered, do not accept this. What was I don't recall the board ever saying that. Don't accept the land. Do you?
We've never been asked the question.
I mean, but do we have this? Is that our position?
We're asking the board. That's what we're asking the board
tonight.
But then why? Okay, I'm looking at the recommendation. Then that's your opinion.
That's our opinion. That's okay. Management's opinion. Yes.
Or what page do you want, Tariq?
Jack, do you have any comments regarding moving the gate?
I don't. I've been on the board for, I'm going on 10 years. And I don't recall any discussion at all of moving that gate. Where was I? I haven't missed one meeting.
I know that you haven't, Jeff.
And the last I recall, we met all day over the lighthouse, over the
yacht club.
The yacht club with a large group of people, and then all of a sudden,
do you recall that item coming up on that? Do you recall that item coming up for discussion at that meeting?
No. It wasn't discussed.
I don't recall that it was discussed.
I don't recall it that we discussed it.
Well, there was another discussion that took place in the 80s, somewhere along the line. The guard shack actually does, in fact, sit on Harbor District property, and the commission at that point made a concession where the culvert on one side of the thing was bridged over so that there could be a wider turnaround place for them moving the shack back, the guardhouse. And so, there was an arrangement I can't recall the date, but, you know, we did it, and it's district property. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, just behind that, not that
for the public at some point in the future. But you know, whether you've got enough incentive for PG&E to spend the money now.
Well, anyway, I guess the point is that as far as I recall, you know, the lighthouse, the guard shack actually doesn't fax it on property or some sort of an easement or whatever. You know. So there was some formal discussion and, you know, along those lines. But, you know, my question originally was just, you know, how did this thing get to this point at this time? You know, so the Planning Commission just decided that they wanted to do something, and they cooked up some things and then presented them, and you answered, the staff answered the best you could, and now we have to...
Yeah, let me say that during the course of the lengthy Planning Commission meeting, the Planning Commission, or various members of the Planning Commission, came up with a number of mitigations that addressed various aspects of this project. Not all had to do with coastal access, and it's obviously only the ones that had to do with coastal access and district property or had a connection with the district that are before you this evening. These are actually some of the smaller ones. One of the potential mitigations that was addressed, for example, was placing the entire property under a conservation easement and requiring all organic farming to take place and sustainable agriculture and so on and so forth. So the Planning Commission broadened the discussion on several fronts, and this was just one of them. And they did ask what was the district's position, and we, to the best of my knowledge, we did not have an official position, and that's why we're coming to you this evening, so that we can go back at some future date, be it March 7th or some other time, and say the Harbor Commission has discussed these items, and this is the position of the commission.
Okay, my own comments to this, I think I went a little bit further on some of these, rather than wondering why we're talking about it. I took the question as a direct question to the board, and does the Harbor District support moving the security gate? And so I began to think what would be involved in moving the security gate. And I certainly recognize that the argument, the question that I asked myself was if the gate were to be moved back, what would that imply? How would I respond to that if it were not addressing a project that I was particularly passionate about? If I were to take an objective point of view, what would I ask? And I would ask what the environmental impacts would be of moving the gate back, because it sits on a major drainage area into the bay. And I'm sure that I've noticed in the past that in order to move that back, the road certainly would have to be broadened, and there would be a substantial amount of filling and grading that would have to be done. And if it developed a impact to the water quality of the bay that could not be mitigated, I could not support it. And if those issues could be addressed, then I can see that would make it much easier for me to consider supporting moving the gate back, because I believe that there are important arguments on either side. So that's information that I would need to have before I'd be prepared to make a decision on this at all. So are there any other comments from any other of the community before I go to public and ask for public comment?
Yes. This issue, it's untimely in my opinion, but we'll get past that. It should have been brought up early on. Meetings, it was not a mystery that the Port St. Louis Harbor Commission Lighthouse Committee was meeting to discuss these issues. They could have been brought in, open discussion, roundtable, opinion sought. I feel, frankly, unfairly put upon. That aside, as I said, looking at this, the question doesn't view the broader scope and greater access issues and seems to focus primarily on the gate being some prophylaxis to access. We've adopted and being utilized, and in fact it is. And so in light of that, and in light of all of the issues that have been raised by staff, Commissioner Moffitt certainly, and others who really thought out this issue, moving the gate at this point seems to be, with all of the other attendant issues that arise as a result of it, the energy, the effort, the focus could be put on other access points, including a wharf that we're taking a look at, and a number of other possibilities. And I think we should also take a look at, we're forgetting the Page of Coast Trail access in that discussion. And I think we need to really have the opportunity, if we're going to seriously discuss this question, to have more time, to have the Lighthouse Committee discuss it, to really address the issue in an appropriate fashion. So I'm sorry if I seem reluctant to address it, but I don't think it was brought forth in a timely and appropriate fashion in light of these discussions. That's all I have.
Are there any more comments of questions of staff or comments before I go to the public?
I've got a comment, and you know my agenda says PG&E steam generator replacement / coastal access mitigation. I've all supported the Lighthouse Keepers and have my grandkids out there climbing a lighthouse, and my wife's out chipping paint once. You know, it's a great organization. But, you know, let's not kid ourselves. It's what PG&E's offering to get their steam generator replacement. They need this project. They're not doing this mitigation that it gives us coastal access because it's close to Christmas, because they're a great organization, because they can lower our PG&E bills, none of those good reasons like that. It's the deal. And mitigation is defined as to lessen the effect of. Now, this doesn't lessen the effect of those steam generators and years more of nuclear waste being stored, okay? That's the elephant in the room. You know, it's really hard to get around that. This is not mitigation. This is the price you pay for a steam generator and nuclear storage. Let's not kid ourselves about that one. I just have to say, you know, there's the big problem here. The big problem in my mind is storage of nuclear.
Yes, this item first.
Thank you. Just very briefly, I wanted to reaffirm.
Could we ask that any commenters state your name and residence for the record?
Andrew Merriam, incoming president of the Lighthouse Keepers. I wanted to reaffirm that our overriding goal, irrespective of the details before you, is still improve and secure access to the lighthouse. We are very gratified that I've been as president not for 10 years, trying to get to this point, and I don't want to say anything that would jeopardize this PG&E series of conditions which will enable that road and the vehicles and other things that will facilitate that overarching goal of the Lighthouse Keepers. The second point, nobody on the Lighthouse Keepers wants unfettered access. We may debate how best to do that or where to do it. But again, the overarching goal is we don't want the public to just be able to go out there at any time, any place. I mean, we can't control it. We know you have concerns. We have equivalent and parallel concerns with that. Therefore, what I guess I'm trying to do is relegate this discussion to the gate. It's a lower level of priority from our point of view than a make or break issue. The Lighthouse Keepers have not taken an official position on the gate. We've discussed it informally, just as apparently the Department of the District has. And personally, no matter what way it goes this time, I would hope that we could somehow work together to guarantee that we, in fact, maintain this better level of service that we have just gotten, that was just referred to by Brian and others, where we can arrive. It's at least a sheet through the fax machine. And I would also hope that, I don't know, long range, you know, as the SACSEC goes and changes, unless I expect to be back or a whole series of things in the future, I hope we don't preclude something here, but I don't see this as a make or break issue on Lighthouse Keeper. It's important. And clearly you're going to hear other viewpoints over a second from other keepers. So I just wanted to set that context, that the overarching goal is reasonable and secure access to the lighthouse.
Thank you, Andrew. Is there anyone else that would like to comment? Please.
Yeah.
Yes, your name and...
Oh, I'm sorry. From an actually approved, he was on the approved driver's list and went out. I was following him by about 20 minutes, and well, I wasn't on the driver's list, which is actually incorrect. Then I was told, well, what's the last name of the gentleman that actually had gone out before? I knew his first name was Dave. He said, well, what's his last name? And I didn't know it. So, of course, I couldn't go through. Well, I talked my way through. I shouldn't put that on camera, but I talked my way through. You know, this is not even one event, but it's one event too many. It's not pleasant talking to a guard with a really big gun. We shouldn't have to each memorize other people's names that go out. Bob. Oh, yeah, Bessley. Yeah, I remember. It was just a weird situation. And I know we're all pleased with PG&E with the protocol, and we're all congratulating them, but it's not perfect. Not by any means.
Maybe a matter of effective communication on that point.
Madam Chairman, if I can speak to that too. I'm Ron Regan from Lighthouse Keepers. And I agree with Andrew that the Lighthouse Keepers have not made a decision on this, because we haven't really discussed formally a recommendation, although we've been all concerned about the access. I've been involved as a retired prof from Cal Poly in the field of horticulture. I've been involved in the vegetation analysis of the 30 acres. And we've had guest architects go out, I've had guest botanists come out, I've had experts on trees come out, and invariably we run across problems in getting people through the gate. Now, I would agree that more recently it's been easier, but, you know, who knows what is going to happen with the Nuclear Regulatory Agency on tightening up again. Which they did after 2001, at that gate. I think that if I can offer just a brief suggestion, is that if we could form just a small committee between the Harbor Commission and the Lighthouse Keepers, I think we could iron out some of the problems, because we have a golden opportunity, I think, even though it's mitigation, to move this access so that it's more available. And it can be restored.
Bob Bessley, Lighthouse Keepers. Several points I'd like to make. One of them is regarding the relationship between Lighthouse Keepers and Fort St. Lawrence. We all remember the meeting we held last summer over at the Yacht Club, where we discussed cooperation and communication, and the Lighthouse Committee was set up. And it seemed that after that we were communicating very well. But I wonder what happened. This item was put on your agenda. The Lighthouse Keepers were not asked to participate in the preparation of the staff report. As a matter of fact, we were not even told that it was on the commission, on your agenda. We really found out by accident that it was last Thursday. That doesn't speak well for communication and cooperation. That Lighthouse Committee, Brian Kriowski, Carolyn Moffat, Andrew, Susan, and I, discussed this issue. And back in November, we prepared
an access projects list that was circulated around. We put this thing together, had a lot of discussion about individual items on there. And in that list, under guaranteed vehicular access, is the option of, I quote, physical bypass of the gate for controlled public access to the lighthouse, close quote. Mm-hmm. That document was submitted to the county under a cover letter signed by Brian Kriowski and I. To me, that means this is not a surprise. This is not an issue that, that everyone should be surprised about. We have discussed this issue. And thirdly, this issue may not come up again in the county process. This is going to go to the Board of Supervisors, and they have a different take on things than the Planning Commission did. And I know that PG&E is not crazy about the idea of discussing this, because it's another project involved in a project, which could be more conditions, and it gets complicated. But the last thing we should be doing is slamming the door to an opportunity to divorce ourselves from PG&E. There's an opportunity, there may be an opportunity that comes along in this process, maybe through these conditions, maybe sometime in the future, maybe under other circumstances. Certainly the technical details have to be worked out, you know, what kind of a gate, what, you know, what kind of control. So let's not slam this door. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Are there any other comments? Susan
Bessley, San Luis Obispo. I don't want to echo things that other keepers have said. I was at the 11-hour Planning Commission meeting, and I can understand Commissioner Bleck's questioning how on earth we got to here. I think we were all surprised. Bob Bessley is right. We've had lighthouse meetings with you commissioners, and this moving the gate was sort of the pie in the sky dream. How could the lighthouse be the most successful? How could it be the very best jewel that we could let it be? And that involves access, control, public access, but not controlled by a corporation who has a gate with armed guards. There's lots of talk here tonight about how wonderful things have improved in the last 5 months. Commissioner Rose from the Planning Commission had a wonderful experience going out to the lighthouse. He jumped in the car with a staff member from the harbor, and off they went. Well, those of you who do not go out there every month might see that these changes have been fairly effective. PG&E has worked hard on this. I commend them. I've been talking with Sally Prin about exchanging the docent program so that the Pecho Coast hikers are met by lighthouse docents, so that we can, you know, give the folks that are able to go out there the very best experience. Last Saturday, the protocol that has been in place for 5 months was different. It was different for me. I had to provide my driver's license, as did the person in my car. I don't fault PG&E for this. Their job is the security of the nuclear power plant. That's what they're there for. It's not to make sure that the lighthouse keepers get to or from the lighthouse. That's a secondary. I recognize that it's been a wonderful security mission for the port and for Upfield. It was fabulous. All bypassing. We've just really got to have some vision here and work together to create, you know, an experience for the public. I think we all agree we want to increase access. Pecho Coast hikers, hiking is the best way to get to the lighthouse, granted. Not everybody can do it. There's many, many people that are excluded in this county and in our visitorship from going to the lighthouse. We have a prime piece of property. with the potential of coastal access, the potential that it will be public land in public hands. And forever is a really, really long time, hopefully. I don't think there's any better way to improve the connection to the lighthouse than by moving the gate and, sorry, I had a lot of things I was going to say and other people said it before me, but, you know, I would ask you as commissioners to be as visionary as you and your predecessors were when you agreed to accept the lighthouse. You accepted that lighthouse as beneficiaries for the public. And I would ask that you use that vision again so that we can continue in our efforts. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Susan. Other, Stuart, would you like to comment, please?
Well, thank you. I'm Stuart Jenkins, 1336 Morrow Street, San Luis Obispo. When I was a Cub Scout here, our Cub Scout leader called up Bob Murray and got permission to take a hike out that mountain there in that picture. And we went out to the lighthouse, and it was a working lighthouse in those days, and we talked to the Coast Guards, you know, officers that were out there staffing that lighthouse, and we saw how it worked. They even turned the light on for us. And all we had to do was get on the trail and walk, and part of it was on the road. Every kid in San Luis Obispo County ought to have the ability to do that. Now, if you look at that picture, that mountain is the harbor. That mountain forms the harbor. It's made of pillow lava that exists almost nowhere else in the world above water. PG&E just needs to build another gate farther in on the road.
I noticed that in your comments.
And you know, I've given you a three-page comment, and I don't want to repeat all of that. But
well, please do, though, because we haven't had had a chance to read it. So if you'll kind of touch on the points of your letters, Stu, I would appreciate it.
Well, thank you. One of the things, though, I wanted to focus on was something that Mr. Krajewski brought up. And I remember sitting in that exact chair years ago when we had a sudden opportunity as commissioners. And you know what? The communications is never perfect. It's never right. You're put upon by a sudden decision or that has to be made, but in that is opportunity for the public. At that time, it was the piers falling down, and all of a sudden we had an opportunity to talk to the county about the Harbor District, who knows how to build a pier, knows how to administer beaches, and does a good job at it, taking Avila Beach and Avila Pier and the tidelines under it to use it for the benefit of the public in a better way than the county had ever been able to do. We had a month. It got done. Because we seized the opportunity, and I encourage you to seize this opportunity for the public. And John, you're right. It's not enough for PG&E to just give you the land up to the road and the road. But you're not necessarily going to have control over that. I do encourage you to ask for all of the land up to the ridge. Why? Because you need that land, number one, to protect and build the road and maintain the road, and number two, because the public ought to have it, and it's not enough to just go up to the road. But you're not going to have control on the commission. The Board of Supervisors is going to grant or deny the permit for these steam regenerator repairs. They're going to maybe set up a mitigation process where they make PG&E open this land up to access. But there's only one agency in this county, in this state, that can have any possible management of that, and that's this district. You've got both ends of the property. Your tidelines go right up to it. Somebody's going to go along the beach. They may climb up. It's really the responsibility of this commission. And you're the best because they don't have the right ID, and maybe they don't have the right fishing permit. You can fix that. And you can fix that if you're managing that property. That's all I've got to say on the A.
Thank you, Stu. I'll recognize you, sir.
Dean Miller, from San Luis Obispo. I'm outside the Harbor District, but I am not a small boat owner or a fisherman or a lighthouse keeper. I'm just somebody that would like to have access to Point Bouchon. I think that as long there are different levels of security, and there always will be, it's fine for these memorialized access things, but they didn't work, as is said, in the last couple of weeks. And I think that if something hits in Oklahoma City, or if it happens in World Trade Center again, and I think that some of these things are going to happen. All these agreements are not worth a thimble of spit. And you really have to get separate usages and separate security for two separate entities. And the sooner that happens, now maybe the mitigation of the creek waters, maybe that's something that has to be looked into, and maybe that would modify it. But I can't tell you how strongly I feel that you've got to separate these two very dissimilar usages, and it might be a little bit worrisome, might take some planning, but do it, because forever is a long time.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Karen.
Yes. I'm Karen Leonard, and I'm from Pismo Beach, and I'm also one of the docents for the trail out to the lighthouse. And the thing that I see is that, as has been already said, this makes an opportunity. This makes an opening of the door. If the harbor commissioners can say, yes, we would like to talk about it, yes, we would like to explore it, yes, the door is open, I think what you'll find is other groups will come, other groups with similar interests will step forward and say, we want to help you make this happen. It's not like all the burden, and I know that there's burden, I know that there's all kinds of things to think about as maybe so, instead of definitely not.
Thank you, Karen. Tom, would you?
President Moffitt, Tom Jones representing PG&E this evening. I've heard a lot of discussion tonight about what we've worked on with different stakeholders, including your staff and AVAC and others. And first, I just wanted to correct some of the comments that the coastal development permit is not for the steam generator replacement project in its entirety. That approval has already been secured by the Public Utilities Commission and the environmental impact report that this commission participated in. Now we're on to the coastal development permit for the five temporary buildings in our parking lot. And so that's the discussion before the county. You were correct in that moving the gate would be a very large project. We're not certain how large it is, but when we looked at the mitigation proposals before us, we did not want to enter into any mitigation that then requires mitigation that we can't define. So that's why we looked at funding or constructing things that were pretty much turnkey with simple ramifications that were known, unlike the drainage issues and other things that we've discussed. We've already begun the process to formally memorialize the access in the easement process. And then the other thing that we looked at throughout all of our meetings was things that were consistent already with your master plan. And so we felt these things did that, and also took advantage of some one-time monies that the commission and the county have from the fish and game settlement for Avila. So we wanted to help bring those projects to completion. So that was thought process and where we were at.
Thank you, Tom. I know that our staff has worked closely with PG&E and with the lighthouse keepers, but I'd like to ask you, Tom, does PG&E have a position on this question?
Specific to the gate, or which question?
Specifically to the gate.
Specifically to the gate, we're opposed to moving the gate for that reason, mitigation for mitigation down the road that's unknown. And that's why there was the mutually agreeable to solution of funding an amount of, I believe, $300,000 in staff report to help channelize or do some other, I think the wording is to remove barriers to access. And it was left that way to give flexibility to those pursuing the solution.
Would PG&E be interested in discussing this specific issue outside of the context of mitigation?
outside of the context of mitigation? I don't believe so. I mean, again, it's putting us in a position for a coastal development project that's not germane to the operation of the plant, and we don't know how long that would take or what form it would take.
And if there's any other problems that weren't rectified when they put that gate system in, they should rectify those if they do. Excuse me. And I agree with Mr. Kopp, I hope I pronounced your name correctly, excuse me, that this is a carrot and a stick. PG&E is like any other corporation. They're going to try to do what they can and get it done with any way they can. And I don't know how we as a small group can have any change over that other than expressing our opinion. But I would like, to, as a member of Lighthouse Keeper, I would like to say we want to see access. We want people to come and look at our beautiful lighthouse. We've been working on it for years. So we do have a vested interest or an interest in that. And it would be wonderful, especially if we could see school kids come out there in groups and those kind of, be able to see the work we've done and share it. This evening, before I drove over here, I Googled Lighthouse USA and got 880,000 hits. Lighthouses are a big deal. Then I Googled Lighthouses California Fiduciary, and I got 300 hits for one particularly small amount. So we all know it's a big deal. We just hope that it can work out, and our, like I say, our work can be shown to the world that we do a good job. Thank you for my time.
Thank you for your comments. John?
Hi, Carolyn. Yeah, I'm John Ashbaugh. And,
good to see you, John.
Yeah, it's great to be back. It's been almost maybe at least 20 years since I last addressed the commission. You're in the early 80s. Yeah, I remember I worked with Andrew and you two on the commission at that time and completed the Harbor Master Plan. And there was a vision at that time, and Stu spoke well to that, about the district taking advantage of opportunities as they were presented, such as the beach and the Avila Pier. There was a real recognition on the part of the district that everything that related to the functional as well as aesthetic framework of the harbor was a concern of the Harbor District. This is an opportunity that seems to me that is unique and is very timely. I think it's only because of past actions by your commission that we're able to be here tonight, that we got a crowd like this addressing an issue of such significance to us, because you took advantage of the opportunity to gain control and fee title to the lighthouse property. So when we see a staff report like this now that's back then, and it gave us the opportunity now to be talking about taking on additional responsibility. You know, nobody knew where the money was going to come from to take on the responsibilities of the pier and the beach. But look what's emerged as a result of that. Look what the district has to offer to the general public. You've got so much going for you now. You've got an active and very well-organized, committed organization that's ready to work with you on continued management of that access. I think you're right to be a little bit concerned about, well, to be significantly concerned about what happens with the drainage area next to that roadway. But now's an opportunity to work with PG&E and the county and the Coastal Commission to improve that and restore some of that habitat that was destroyed when they just put the rock in there. As Mike Benson just said, it's a technical issue. It doesn't raise a whole lot of new policy issues. The policy issue before you, I would hope that you'll direct staff to look at the favorably upon both the option of moving the gatehouse and adding a second gate, a card-operated gate of some kind, to control access to the lighthouse, to take fee title to that property, and as much of it as you can get up to the ridgeline, as Stu has suggested. Let's get as much of that as you possibly can that relates to the concerns of the harbor, and then mitigate the damage that's been done to that drainage area. This is as good an opportunity as you're going to get. Now, obviously, PG&E likes to kind of string things along, do little projects at a time, do only enough mitigation that is within the nexus of this particular project, and incrementally they want, obviously, to extend the life of that plant as long as they can. Let's do as much as we possibly can. Now, let's be visionary, let's be aggressive. Let's be bold, indeed, in this. And I think you've got the support that shows here tonight. So go for it, is what I suggest.
Thank you.
Thank you for that encouragement, John.
I might know, John, that's not the opinion of the board that you reflected. It's an opinion of the staff. We're not.
Yes, yes.
We're not so old. What did you put that way?
The tender spot there, John.
That's why it's not the opinion of this board.
Thank you, John.
Yes,
me
too.
Yes, I'm Andrew Christie. I'm chapter coordinator for the Sierra Club in San Luis Obispo County. I just wanted to amplify on some of those remarks and speak to your concern, President Moffitt, regarding the matter of mitigating the loss of public access, which represented by the fact that the steam generators will power Diablo Canyon for another 10 years and then enable potential relicensing for 20 years beyond that, which means 30 years of continued zero public access to the site of the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant. So the question would then be, what mitigations of that can you get? What degree of public access can you get, you know, with that project in place? And the fact that there would be environmental impacts being mitigated as a result of that mitigation of impacts to public access is two different things. So, as the gentleman from PG&E pointed out, there would be no interest from PG&E in engaging in this discussion outside of the mitigation process. So this is your chance.
This is it, isn't it?
Mm.
Okay.
Carolyn?
Yes,
Dix. Yvain Martin Cohen, Treasurer of Point San Luis Lighthouse Keepers. Money was finally mentioned back here, and the courage of the commissioners to go ahead and take on the lighthouse a few years back, and not being clear where the money was going to come from, because there were conditions that it needed to be stabilized and all that. And so I'm going to throw out something real quickly that's informational for the commissioners. When the Lighthouse Keeper started in 95, we opened a checking account with $350. And just over the years, has passed through our books as at the end of this year, we have received $345,608, and we have disbursed $244,928. Bottom line is, our current assets, what we have in the bank and grants that we will be getting, we have $500,000 already, which I would have never anticipated with a down payment of $350. So I guess what I would like to do is encourage the commissioners. I realize totally that, you know, there's a lot of implications on accepting properties and the upkeep and all that. But the same was true back then when you took the lighthouse, and it is proven that the money does come. My hunch is, if we take this opportunity at this time for good public access, the money will come too. Because I see, in all honesty, more public we have out there, the more the lightkeepers we'll bring in, and I really believe in time the lighthouse is going to be self-supporting totally without grants. And we can get future grants for education and stuff, and with that, the Lighthouse can actually be profitable. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Doug. Would you like to comment, please?
I'm here with the Alamo Valley Advisory Council. To reiterate AVAC's reinforcement to the Lighthouse Keepers and their goal of getting unfettered access to this land, we have been in support of that and have stated so in several different forums. There is an elephant in the room, a very big elephant in this room, and he's called the future of coastal public lands and our ability to access them unfetteredly. Is that a, that's a word? That's how we get there. It is an opportunity that we really have to take very in very serious consideration to seize this opportunity now, because PG&E has been a good steward and has been working with us, but the Public Utilities Commission does regulate their ability to function, and so we don't have local control. It is an important issue for us to consider when we're considering this project. And we're not talking about what the port's ability is to manage this land today. we're looking at the future of the next 50 or 100 years. So we really need to expand our thought process beyond the capabilities of our budgetary constraints and our abilities to provide security today. We are stewards of that land, and we are obligated to get it into public access. And I know that you all have done a tremendous amount of work on the Port Master Plan. It's going to the Coastal Commission very soon, and it has a lot of the wonderful information in it about the lighthouse, and that you consider this to be a part of your institution, and to not support public access to it is to deny the heart of your master plan, in my mind. Those are my comments on access through the gate. Thank you.
Thank you, Carl. Are there any other comments?
Just on the gate.
Yes.
We've been talking quite a bit about
please,
the gate.
Please, your name and your residence.
Richard Nutting. I've been with the lighthouse about 6-7 years now. And Carolyn's concern about the gate and the keepers. And you look back in some of the things when it was started. If they don't do something now, they've been 10 years just about since the lighthouse was taken over by the Harbor Commissioner, Harbor District, whatever you want to call it. And they're still pros and cons back and forth of the same thing that was happening 10 years ago. And we're going to have to do something pretty soon to keep the project moving. And that as far as getting the gate straightened out and getting the access road straightened out. That's all.
Thank you, Richard. Are there any other comments? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board for comment and some decisions. Jim, what are your thoughts?
I've got a bunch of them. First of all, I'm kind of interested in the letter that came out of Brian and Bob Vestley that went to the county about moving up, because I'm not sure that I ever saw that. And was that county, I mean, committee, or did it come to the board?
Committee.
So it was from the committee, so it never did come to the board to get any sort of you know, what the board thought was and the county was or something like that.
That letter went in your inbox.
Just curious.
I went to the office.
That
I wouldn't swear to that.
The second thing is, you know, I hear about the access, and as far as I'm concerned, there's access out to the lighthouse, but I think what I hear from that side of the table, when access is getting in a car and driving out there, all right? Of course it is, because otherwise, you know, you can get out there, you can walk there, you can walk at low tide. You heard Stuart say that it's still at a low tide, you can walk out there. But, you know, I mean, the problem is you do have to walk, and it represents some sort of a, you know, of an effort. The idea you know, looking at the gate, moving it back there. By the way, I'll have to say that for me personally, I agree with the recommendations that the staff put out down the line. But I would say that I guess as far as I'm concerned, the long and the short of it is nothing's impossible for somebody that doesn't have to do it. So I'm sitting here, and I've been on board for a while, and I'm thinking about what we had in an executive session meeting just a little while ago, and this is not letting go that doesn't have to do it, is the message that I'm going to put right back there. Why don't we think about it this way? As far as I'm concerned, if somebody wants to take that land for whatever mitigation away from PG&E, move the gatehouse back, put a drag strip out to the lighthouse, I mean, do whatever you want to with the road, take over the access. Let somebody other. How about the County of San Luis Obispo? You know, the Sierra Club, the Land Conservancy of San Luis Obispo. I mean, why does it have to be the Harbor District? I'm just curious. It doesn't really have to be the Harbor District. Somebody else could take that over. Then, you know, then if something happens on the road or whatever, it's not. You know, we can pretty much concentrate on being a harbor. And, you know, we will maintain the ownership of the lighthouse, and, you know, if it's in the public's benefit to do that. But, you know, it's too bad that it was inconveniently put in a place that, you know, that you had to go over private land, and it's a little bit more difficult to get to than a lot of other lighthouses, but, you know, that's kind of what we got. I really don't mind, you know, specifically with the gatehouse sitting where it is. I went through that thing for 28 years, and I can tell you that every time there was a new face that was in the gatehouse, you knew you were going to have a problem. All right, so that's nothing new. That's nothing new. I think that all that stuff can very likely be worked out, and yeah, it's an inconvenience, and yeah, we get to look at guys with guns, but, you know, I mean, it's just, in my mind, that's just a little bump, and it's not a big deal. At some particular point, if all this stuff works out and there's more vehicular access out to the lighthouse, it's easier for everybody, I guess, that wants to do that. You know, and the liability issues is attacked that way, and so that, you know, if there's a gate, I guess, you know, if you figure out how cars are going to come both ways, because that is coordinated by the gatehouse. So, I mean, I don't know how you want to attack all that kind of stuff. It's sure, you can do it, and it can all be done. At this particular point, the way I see it and what I know from the facts I've been given within the last short amount of time is that the gate will work. You know, the access out there is still there. I bet you that there could probably be something done in the next, you know, number of years that can promote, you know, more vehicular access out there, because that's, I guess, what we all want. And, you know, although in the master plan, I think you'll see that the commission's choice was water access. So, anyway, but for the gatehouse, I say I like to, the situation as it sits is just fine with me.
We had a relatively well thought out action plan, and I thought that plan was clearly understood. Apparently it wasn't. The issues identified by Commissioner Blecker, we had community meetings and open sessions relative to our master plan. As Commissioner Blecker points out, we favor a certain type of access. We are not inhibiting access. We don't want to inhibit access. I recently have been inspired to do a research project on our founding father, John Harford, and thinking about foresight and vision, he certainly had it, and people didn't believe in it, especially the people who built the People's Wharf in Avila, and he said, build to the lee side of a point, San Luis. I certainly think that's an important point. I've been working with my colleague at Cuesta College, Mr. Richard Hitchman, who has been an emeritus advisor to me relative to my research project, and talking about Romaldo Pacheco. He got the grant for the lighthouse. So, and I appreciate tremendously, and that's why I have made the impromptu visits to come to the lighthouse and recognize you all for the efforts that you put into this. But I also understand the history associated with this, and when you mix apples and oranges on this, it makes a great fruit salad, but it doesn't help us develop good policy relative to access. We are not, and I'm sorry if I'm a little moved here, we're not against a public access to the lighthouse. As a matter of fact, I think I've heard a lot of comments about access being controlled. That is our policy. We've adopted that policy. It's been well maintained. I have vision. I've worked on dinosaur caves. That was pie in the sky. We would never achieve it. And as a matter of fact, this commissioner donated the money to represent the lighthouse on the tile wall at Dinosaur Caves. And I invite you all to go down and look at it. You can see the lighthouse from there. The Pecho Coast Trail offers every young child an opportunity to hike out to the lighthouse. I thought our action plan was... Wait a second. The point here is that I thought our action plan was to focus there. Not on a roadway that encourages people to get into a car and drive out to the lighthouse. The importance here is that we have access to the lighthouse, the reality that we have to deal with in our society today. I didn't put Diablo Canyon next to the lighthouse. I don't necessarily like it, but I live with it. So we have to live with certain realities in our society today. I'm willing to work to get better access. So I take a little bit of exception with some of the maybe perceptions that
that were generated relative to commissioners not wanting access to the lighthouse. We take the charge and the responsibility relative to the ownership of that facility very seriously. And I think this commission, and I'm speaking on their behalf because they have been here longer than I have, and unfortunately, if I'm responding in a way that is inappropriate for my young years, then so be it. But these commissioners have definitely taken to heart the responsibility of that lighthouse. That stated, relative to this guard shack, or security gate, or what have you, there are a number of concerns, which I won't go into and belabor here tonight, that don't necessarily just impact the environment, they impact security, they impact the security for the lighthouse, and they impact a number of different issues that are definitely addressed in other areas that we've, our master plan and other issues that we've discussed. So this isn't a new discussion that we've had. And I don't say lose the vision. I say let's look at all and encourage and promote the other access options. That lighthouse is part of our future. It was essential to the economic engine that John Harford built here in this harbor. It's essential to the economic engine that will develop in our bay, San Luis Bay, or Bahia Todos Santos here, and it will be essential. So this commissioner, so long as he's on the board, will always be concerned with the lighthouse and focused on helping the lighthouse keepers with their charge. But I'm sorry if I've taken exception with comments that have created a perception that we're against access. We're not against access. So I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Jack?
I'm a little bit caught off guard, and Bob touched on it too. He said he didn't know anything about these meetings that was going on. And doesn't PG&E own that road and own that gate? And if they want to move it, why don't they move it? Why are they asking us?
They don't want to move it, Ken.
Okay.
They raised the possibility of moving it back beyond the lighthouse road to provide more direct access to the lighthouse. They suggested it as a condition of permit for the PG&E steam generator project. And so that if PG&E wants to, it, the effect would be so that if PG&E wants to have the steam generator project, well, then they should move the entry gate back so that there's improved access to the lighthouse. And that was suggested as a condition of permit.
So,
and then we were asked to take a position on it, and that's what we're discussing here tonight.
So is there a little bribery or something going on?
Not that I know of, Jack.
It's in the envelope.
I already spent my check. No. It was suggested as a possible condition of permit. And because it was brought up at the Planning Commission, we were asked to have a meeting, have full discussion of it, and possibly take a position on it.
Now, PG is begging us to take some land.
No, they're not.
Oh, okay.
No, they actually have not made that offer.
Oh,
it would
okay.
be taken from them and given to us.
And who's doing that taking?
The Planning Commission suggesting
the Planning Commission suggested it.
For five temporary buildings in the parking lot, I guess, is the way I understand it.
It came from the Planning Commission. It came from two of the Planning Commissioners.
So we're discussing something that's a dream of somebody, somewhere, or somehow.
It's something that it's something that we have discussed at the Harbor Commission in the context of our master plan. We've talked about it. We have talked about it. The lighthouse keepers have talked about it in their meetings. They have not taken a position on it.
We have never taken a formal position, certainly, on it. It's
While I don't change my position on the storage of nuclear waste, most toxic substance known to man, 8 miles away, that's a little too close for me, still I am a realist about this process. You know, we may be the little mouse that roared, but nobody listens to us here. three years ago, we took a stand against storage of nuclear material. And that was an admirable stand, but like I said, they didn't listen to us, did they? So if this process goes through, we want a bigger piece than we're being offered right now. I guess I disagree with some of the former commissioners. In essence, this harbor's incomplete. It runs from Pirate's Cove to the lighthouse, out to the breakwater, out 3 miles, but there's a gap. There's a gap that's missing. That entire bluff, as far as you can see, it's not ours. It should be ours. It should have been deeded to this harbor a long time ago. PG&E doesn't need it. They don't need it for security. There's 8 miles. I mean, you could drive up in a boat and go ashore in any 10 coves up here if you're talking about security. It's a myth that bluff is security. It's a beautiful piece of land to us. It's a beautiful piece of land to other people. Might be a beautiful piece of real estate to develop. That's what I'm afraid of. It can be saved forever by us, by this Harbor Commission. As far as one more job to take on, three meetings ago, believe it or not, came up on the agenda. Should we give away the parking lot? Is there some? I was appalled. Give away the parking lot and the pier and the beach? That's this harbor, you know. Fortunately, put the kibosh on that. I don't see any great expense being spent on that bluff right now. I don't know, you know. Pirates Cove, we empty trash cans now and then. There's an expense, but that's it. I think it's unrealistic. Think we can't take that bluff.
Let's talk about the...
Oh, yeah, okay. Anyway,
because
that's...
Because I want to move on.
But it just tied in with moving the gate. It was touched upon by previous commissioners. In essence, the harbor's incomplete. And that's the sum total of my comments.
Thank you, John.
If I didn't want that gate moved, I would be safe voting for it to be moved because PG&E would...
Not necessarily that we support moving the gate back, but that we leave the opportunity open by not taking a position against it. I feel that the public there's a diverse representation of the public here tonight, and I think the public is well represented. They're asking us to not say no. I don't feel that we're in a position to say yes, because I would never approve of a project before I had the environmental findings to support that. I simply cannot do that. And it's a mistake to say that that's not an issue, because that's a major... I don't mean the road being a drainage, but there's a canyon there that is a major drainage into the bay. And I think that would be a very major project. I understand what you perceive as the benefit, but I couldn't support it without having that information. So my position is that it's premature for us to take a position. I feel that the conditions that have been negotiated between the Harbor District and PG&E at this point provide, it depends upon the specific language, and as Susan pointed out to me, a really good corporate lawyer can dissolve an easement. I mean, an easement is not fail-safe. It depends upon the language that's in it. It does not depend upon the good intentions of those who are negotiating it. So the policies that we establish and the conditions that we establish now have to be independent of good intentions and good relations. They have to stand on their own. I'm not prepared to support moving the gate back, and I certainly don't want to close the door to the opportunity of looking for that in the future. I hope that the commission has listened carefully to the public who is represented, and certainly I am for the time being comfortable with the conditions that we have established. But going back to Karen's comments, it would be not a good thing to close the door on the opportunity. So if the commissioner would like to make a motion.
I'll make a motion that we essentially approve the staff recommendation of not supporting the requirement to have the Diablo Canyon Gatehouse moved back past the entrance to the White House Road.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded to support staff recommendation to deny support for moving the gate. All of those in favor, please respond.
Aye.
All of those opposed?
No.
No. Jack, how say you?
No.
No. Okay. We need another motion.
Best direction.
The recommendation of the Harbor District is that PG&E moves the gatehouse back.
Is that how you intended it?
And that was denied.
No.
Excuse me, Jean?
The recommendation was, you know, if you voted yes, you favored the recommendation. If you voted no, you were against the recommendation.
Right.
So they had two for the recommendation,
right,
which is to keep the gatehouse where it is.
And
three said, move it. So there you go.
I'm not sure how to move.
Wait. Point of order. Commissioner Scarborough, I don't think understood the motion, and I would poll the commissioners.
Okay.
How's that work, Brian? If you don't like the vote, you get to revote?
No.
Commissioner Scarborough, if he wants to mention for himself, he just stated that he wasn't clear on what the motion was.
Okay.
It was a support of the recommendation.
Careful, Carol.
I can have a reconsideration of the motion.
Existing motion set, if the chair so desire, call for a second motion. That way it's cleaner.
Well, no, I believe that it is clear.
If another motion's made and call for a second vote, I think that would clean up the record.
Jay, may I ask for a reconsideration of the existing motion and clarification?
It's the chair's prerogative. It's the board's prerogative.
I'll ask for a reconsideration of the motion and a revote.
Our recommendation is just start all over again.
Okay, well,
make a motion.
I'd like to make it. I'm sorry. That was careless of
you. Well, we have a double thing in here. I support a motion to not do something. That's what the whole thing is all about. So, you know, the motion is that the district does not support a requirement that a lot line adjustment to transfer the title of the property.
No.
We're on the gate. That's what turned out entirely different.
Do not support requirement that PG&E relocate the security gate to a point past the beginning of the Lighthouse Road.
So Jim's motion.
It's a lot clearer.
Jim's motion is in support of the staff recommendation
not to move the gate.
Not support requirement the PG&E relocate the
not
gate.
No, I say yes.
Okay. All of those in favor.
We need
of
a second. Point of order. We need a second.
A second.
I will second that motion.
Okay.
all of those in favor of the motion to not require PG&E to relocate the gate?
Yes.
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 All of those opposed?
No.
The motion passes.
Let the minutes reflect that. There was two motions and
two actions.
Two moves, two actions. How's that work? Is that tie?
No. It was the same motion. It was the same motion. More with more discussion and understanding. And I apologize for not making that motion, making sure that was clear to all the commissioners. Okay, the second portion of this item, Steve, is the question number two.
If I can just interject in the interest of our financial report on consent agenda item L, if we could combine and or offers a dedication for the San Luis Hill.
My question on this was perhaps whether the Patriot Coast Trail was a separate easement currently? Is it currently a separate easement?
No, it's not.
Okay.
No, it's not. And the issue came up in the Planning Commission of an offer to dedicate an easement to enshrine the Patriot Coast Trail in perpetuity. What was not clarified in the Planning Commission was who would be the recipient of that offer to dedicate. And the question was asked, would the district consider being the recipient of that dedication of an easement? And that easement would be solely to perpetuate the Patriot Coast Trail and the operation and management of hikes across the Patriot Coast Trail. And staff's recommending that while we may well support a dedication of an easement across that property to make sure that hikes continue in perpetuity, that the district is not necessarily the best recipient of that easement.
I see my question. Why did they ask the district if they could receive this properties and not another agency, for instance, Lighthouse Keepers?
You'd have to ask the Planning Commission of that.
I see. You weren't getting inside information on that.
Steve, can I ask a question for clarification? Yeah. Because it's not clear to me, and there is no criticism here intended of the preparation of the report. I just don't understand the question. Is the question that an offer to dedicate the real property, or is the question an offer to dedicate an easement for ingress and egress across the property for the Patriot Coast Trail?
The question number two, as written, is actually misleading, and I apologize for that. Please strike real property ownership. The question raised in the Planning Commission meeting was an dedication of an easement to ensure the perpetual use of the Patriot Coast Trail.
May I ask a further question, and that is, again, for my recollection and recall, this was an issue that was discussed, as I recall, in our meetings, Lighthouse Committee meetings, which, and I assume that there's some concurrence there.
I would like to with the chair's permission, though, pick up on Harbor Manager Elder's comments about.
So, I would like to keep those separated. Madam President,
is it the intent, Steve? Is it the intent that if Port San Luis Harbor District were to support a lot line adjustment, that would give the district the ownership of Lighthouse Road and all the properties to the south, including the Patriot Coast Trail?
The two questions are so intertwined. If the answer to question number three is that the lot line adjustment takes place that transfers title to the property from the road south to the shore,
including the Patriot Coast Trail,
that would by definition include the Patriot Coast Trail, and then I would think it would become incumbent upon us to ensure the continuity of the trail, that we find a recipient of an easement ourselves that we could grant to somebody in order to make sure that there was always an operator of the trail.
It would be up to us to solicit a leasee or...
That would be certainly be an option. That
Wait a minute. That's not exactly right. I don't believe that, you know, that it's incumbent upon us to make sure that, you know, that that trail was always open.
Okay.
I mean, you know, that would be if we took possession of the property.
If we took possession of the property.
You know, I mean, okay. The point is that the whole reason the trail's there is because that was a requirement a long time ago for, you know, another building that PG&E had. And, by the way, I'm pretty sure, but I'll ask you this, Tom, that there was a sunset clause on that thing that was 20 years or something like that.
Madam President, if I may
Yes,
answer.
Please, Tom.
There was an offer to dedicate, and Mr. Blackett is right. It was an open-ended offer to dedicate that had a 21-year shelf life from 1983 to 2004. There were no takers.
Just point of clarification. As I understand it, it was a 1982 requirement by the Coastal Commission. It's memorialized. It's a condition of a coastal development permit. The Pecho Coast Trail program is a required program in perpetuity. What the answer to this question is, because I'm not really understanding it.
Okay.
Is it that we accept a dedication of the real property, and if there's an expectation that we run the Pecho Coast Trail program, I'd like to know about that. And is there an expectation that the Pecho Coast Trail program is no longer going to be an obligation imposed upon PG&E as a result of their application from 1982? I'm not in favor of that.
Okay.
I'm not going to accept property and then have a program go away that I'd like to see developed. I sat here and pontificated about that. So that's unfortunate if we jump into something.
Let me see if I can. And I take some responsibility here for what we did is we combined two questions into this one, and I'm sorry for the confusion. I'll take the responsibility for that confusion. But there was actually two questions, and we just merged them, and the discussion went something along the lines of the discussion of offer to dedicate, and it could be either or a easement and or title. So we just combined them for simplicity.
And I
so
appreciate
we've
it, Jay,
combined that.
And I appreciate it. The difficulty is not fully having the question communicated directly to us. The point that Commissioner Black has said, I often point out running with scissors here. We had a process that we were developing a negotiated and a discussed mitigation options. And this, you know, these are new nuances that, again, back to where we were before on this other one, had we had these issues come forward and these questions presented to us, I am certain that we would have dealt with them relative to the Lighthouse Committee. So I don't think it's really a problem, the staff combining questions. I think it's a difficulty in having these questions put on us at this point, and I understand former Commissioner Jenkins' statements, and he's right. But and it's a responsibility we have to deal with. But I want some clarification on these before we jump into.
And your point is well taken, Commissioner Krajowski, and subject to the chair's review, if you want to solicit public comment, it sounds like Mr. Krajowski is recommending this maybe go refer back to Lighthouse Committee and then bring back at the next board meeting for further discussion. Was that what I heard you say, Brian?
Well, I mean, that's an option. I would defer to the rest of the commission if they feel like dealing with this tonight.
I think you need to take
a complicated issue.
I think you need to take public comment because you've got a good turnout here. This
question: whether or not let's talk about whether or not the Harbor District supports a lot line adjustment that would give the district ownership of the Lighthouse Road and all of that property to the south at the road, including the Pecho Coast Trail. Now, Brian, is that a clear question to you?
If the question includes removing responsibility for the management of the Pecho Coast Trail program and the funding that has previously been deposited for that program, then I would be in opposition to it.
I have a suggestion. I think that this thing came up so quickly that there's so many issues here that, you know, I mean, move the gate back or leave it there was fairly straightforward. Only took 2 hours to figure that one out. These are just a little bit more complicated because there's a lot more questions. In the interest of time, what my suggestion would be is exactly what you're suggesting, Carolyn, is forget about number two, you know, whether this thing is going to be an easement concomitant or, you know, with all the attendant stuff, you know, to carry on the Patriot Coast Trail or whether it's necessary or not. Jump right down to number three, take solicit input. And, you know, I personally, I wouldn't vote on either one of these two because I don't believe that I have enough information.
I'm not prepared. I'm certainly not prepared to vote, vote on this. And I would like to continue this question to our February meeting, but I would like to have the public's
why don't we listen to what the public thinks? You know, what the public thinks the question is, and let's just, you know, figure it out. And then, I mean, I don't know, but I think probably everybody has some sort of an idea. You know,
I think there's interest in this question if we can identify it. Tom, I'm going to ask for public comment now. Tom,
President Moff, if I can just further confuse the issue, we use Patriot Coast Trail, it seems, in this hearing interchangeably with the Lighthouse Road. But the trail is much longer than the road, so you also need to clarify that in your lot line adjustment question, because it does wrap around the Rattlesnake Canyon and back in. I just want to bring that to your attention.
Thank you. Yeah.
It's 7 miles long. It's not just 3 miles to the lighthouse.
That's right.
So please
keep that in
mind. It extends
beyond the lighthouse.
Okay.
Thank you, Tom. Now then, I want to take public comment on this issue. Whether, and the question here will simply be, whether or not the Harbor Commission should support a lot line adjustment that would include the road, from the road to the current boundary of the Mean High Tide.
To look in the long term, try not get caught up in technical details of, you know, what's the liability what effect will it have on the trail and who runs the trail and how long the trail will run and whose responsibility is that. But just think about the opportunity, as I said before, to become independent of PG&E. If the Harbor District or some other agency, and maybe that's an issue that should be discussed, if somebody other than PG&E owns that road, it would remove one more obstacle to access to the land.
Yes. My name is Bob Wolf. I live in San Luis Obispo, and I'm the interim executive director of ECOSLO, the Environmental Center of San Luis Obispo County. I have a letter which I'll read and also give you copies of in a minute. Just a couple of comments based on what I've heard tonight. Honorable Commissioners, the Environmental Center of San Luis Obispo County, ECOSLO, is a nonprofit 501c3 membership organization dedicated to protecting and enhancing the natural environment and human well-being through education, community-based action, and advocacy. Established in 1971, ECOSLO has a long and successful history of writing grants and administering conservation programs on the Central Coast from Point Sal to Cabos Blancas. We understand that the Port San Luis Harbor District may not have the resources to accept an offer to dedicate of the Pedro Coast Lighthouse Trail real property ownership. ECOSLO therefore expresses its interest as a nonprofit entity with the capability and resources to take on the responsibility for the ownership and management of this property should the opportunity arise. As a member of the SLO Coast Alliance and in active collaboration with a larger number of community groups, conservation organizations, and other nonprofits, ECOSLO has access to the skills and resources of public benefits groups statewide. Public benefit groups statewide, excuse me. We anticipate the operation and management of the Pedro Coast Trail through the effective use of state, regional, and local grant resources. We welcome the opportunity to discuss this possibility further and look forward to collaborating with the Port San Luis Harbor District, PG&E, the Board of Supervisors, and the Coastal Commission should an OTD be forthcoming as part of the mitigation for this project. Thank you. Now, just a couple of clarifications. Steve McGrath is good enough to clarify that what was this transfer of ownership of this land would be, in the long run, very valuable, and we are letting it be known that if you're not interested, we are. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Susan.
Susan Bessley, San Luis Obispo. I just want to make a couple of clarifying comments if I can, because I did spend most of the 11 hours at the Planning Commission meeting, and it was a wild day. And Mr. Blackett keeps bringing up his frustration at being felt put upon by all of these decisions tonight. And let me just share with you that we were all very surprised at what occurred at the Planning Commission. But what I'd like you all to keep in mind is that this process is going to continue, whether the Harbor District makes a decision or not. PG&E's project is going forward through the permitting agencies. And I believe there's one to two more agencies that are going to hear much of the information that was shared with the Planning Commission. The Board of Supervisors is next. And the reason that it's probably important to get your input at this level is because those issues are likely to come back again. Mitigation is what occurs with a permit of this caliber. So, you know, I'm real appreciative of other folks who are stepping up to the plate here. My personal thought is that public access to a public resource is best performed by a local government committed to coastal access, as is provided in the California Coastal Act. My guess is that, again, this process will continue and ultimately will end up at the Coastal Commission. So I would, you know, urge you to think about that in terms of where we're going here today. And I thank you. Thank you, Susan.
Andrew Merriam, Lighthouse Keepers. I think there are one point of information and one concern. Our policy as the Lighthouse Board, and it's been embedded in the discussions since time zero, has been that we have three points of access. The road for emergency and maintenance, handicapped, the young people, the students and so on who can't hike the trail or possibly do the boat thing, plus special parties if necessary. We have never advocated free access for automobiles, continued access and control, easement dedication, whatever it takes to make sure that that trail continues on. Third, obviously, is the water access. I think it's dramatic. It's unfortunately the most problematic. We don't know exactly how it's going to work, and I don't want to see that put off the table just because it's expensive. So we've always based access on those three things. Second point, it's my vision as incoming president that we head strongly toward establishing the foundation for becoming self-supporting. You heard Snooks start with that. I do not want to see the Harbor Commission have to pick up the tab for this. I see us in as a position of being able to start to support our own liability if there's an acquisition of trade. Our very earliest charter stated that the Lighthouse Keepers would be in a position to ultimately dose and operate that trail. Fortunately, things are not fortunately, unfortunately, they took a different balance with the Land Conservancy and then PG&E. And I'm saying fortunately because we probably weren't mature enough at that point. But it is my hope that as we mature over the next couple of years and these things come online, that we will begin to have the paid staff, the operation, and the docents to take that over. I do not see this as an issue that you have to be concerned with other than to make sure that we are doing our thing. This is what we're retained for. This is why we are going to become an effective organization economically as well as managerially. And so I really want to put that out because I don't think we haven't had a chance to step up and take that. But as the access comes, we can generate funds, not only through an active program of grants, but because we are putting people out there and agencies will become interested. And Brian's put forward some great ideas in the discussion of the Lighthouse Committee, and I really want to recognize his energy and creativity in that thing. I think we will become self-sustaining, and we will not become a burden on the harbor.
Thank you, Andrew. Are there any others? Stu, please.
Thank you. You know, I can never start talking without telling a story. And I'm sorry. But I just remember a wedding out a couple of years ago between a young man and a girl named Sally. And, you know, the young man was strong and he was vigorous and he rode his bride out there. and the rest of us went over the road, the lighthouse property. And I think in thinking about this, you need to think about the fact that there's mature people who may want to get out there and aren't going to be able to hike. And I think we need to address Mr. Scarborough's implicit concern here. Now, this isn't the Harbor District holding a gun to PG&E's head to take land away from them. It's the county. The county's doing it, and they're doing it for the reason that Mr. Christie said, which is that there's 10,000 acres there on that ranch that are not going to be open to the public. It used to be you could call up Mr. Murray and get permission. He just wanted the respect of you asking. But he's not there anymore. PG&E is. There's a nuclear power plant. There's security concerns. Rattlesnake Creek is a wonderful security implement. I don't know if you've ever tried to climb down into it and get to the other side, but it's pretty rugged. You are going to be thinking about the conditions. You can help, as this commission, the planning commission and the county, determine appropriate mitigations for their issuing their permit. And it doesn't have to be, oh gee, let's take the first choice, like from the road to the tidelands. That's pretty good. That gets you what you need. It doesn't have to be to the ridge, because Stu Jenkins just happened to mention it, and because it makes sense when you look at that picture. It might be as a condition for that withholding of access to the coast on 10,000 acres of California's coast. Really what PG&E ought to do is grant everything to Rattlesnake Canyon to an entity like the commission, like the district, and should fund access for maintenance of a trail. You may want to look at other things in the future. A road, you know, I don't think anybody here wants an 8-lane freeway going down that mountain. But a decent road that disabled people can get down, some alternative form of transportation that elderly people can use and small kids, those are things that can be looked at in the future. It all gets back to the money of how you manage this. You know this. You know you can get in the red eye and go to Washington and lobby for money, Jim. You and I did it. And we came back with money. You don't get on the red eye and go to Washington, you're not going to bring back the money's jewels. Thanks.
Thank you, Stu. John?
Again, John Ashbaugh from San Luis Obispo. I'd like to point out to the commission, remind you that we really dodged a bullet a few years ago. There was a bankruptcy, not PG&E, the Mare property. Those leaseholds up there went on the market. PG&E bid on them. They didn't get them. Went to a private party. And God knows what might have happened if that party had been able to retain control of those leaseholds, two 99-year leases. PG&E thankfully stepped in and took control of that. I don't know what they paid for it. This had the basic reason why they did go bankrupt themselves a little bit later, but you know, they went bankrupt too. As long as that land is in private ownership, it is at risk. And I think if you now have an opportunity working with the county and the Coastal Commission, and PG&E is willing to dedicate any part of it, any square inch of it, let alone up to the road or up to the ridgeline, whatever it is, and you have an opportunity to take that into the real property owned and managed by this Harbor District. Here we are, a public agency, able to talk about the future of that land, and only because an opportunity is before you. But again, don't shrink from that opportunity. And as you did, okay, the gatehouse question, you settled, fine, we can deal with that. Maybe at some point you can evict PG&E if you actually do own that gate. Let's look at that in the future. But that's a whole other, okay, we dealt with that, that's behind us. But now, again, you have an opportunity to step forward. And it may be a real gossamer chance. Don't necessarily make a decision tonight, let's put it off, bring it to the White House committee, as Commissioner Kriowski suggested, bring it back at the next meeting and get better information for it. But again, don't say no at this point.
Thank you, John.
Karen, Carmen Leonard again from the Nature Coast Trail docents. I wanted to mention to Mr. Kriowski that your daughter would not be able to go out if it were not for your position until 10 years from now to see the lighthouse.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And that's why I'm on this commission working with the Lighthouse Committee, and I appreciate what you're saying. Trust me. Trust me.
You got that. And Mr. Scarborough, if it weren't for your position, you wouldn't be able to go out to the lighthouse. Limited mobility. And I said I was sure we could work it out, that she would be able to get out there. She said, I can't possibly walk the trail. And I said, I'm sure we could work it out. But I'm so clear, there are multitudes of people in this county who would love to have the opportunity to freely go out and see what's out there. We have the only existing lighthouse among hundreds. This one is like no other. There were three. This is the only one left. It has very distinctive qualities, and that's what makes it so inviting to people who want to see the lighthouse. When we ask people before we take them on a hike, we say, what is it that brought you here? What do you most want about this walk out to the lighthouse? Do you want to know about the history of the area? Do you want to know about archaeological history? Do you want to know about plants? Do you want to know about geology? Because we've been trained for months and months and months. I would say easily 65% of the people say, I just want to get out to the lighthouse. That's my interest. I've been waiting for months to get out here. Months. And I'm so aware that we take something like 1,400 people out there a year. There are thousands of people who are just waiting for the opportunity to get out there. And when Susan talks about the gem of this area, I think what you have is maybe the equivalent of a square rigger tied out at the pier. It's just you can't see it. And people just, you know, they don't quite get what's out there. But once they get out, they get, this is worth a great deal of push to make accessible, to make its best, you know, to keep working on it and working on it the way the lighthouse keepers have. And what they get is somebody had the nerve to save it. And now I know.
Any other?
Yeah, I have. She must know, you must know something that I don't know, because I haven't enjoyed any privilege as far as the lighthouse that you speak of by my position on the board.
Did you drive out there?
No.
Did you walk out there?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes. It took me one hour and a half or something like that.
Good for you.
Yeah. But I don't think I'll be able to do it anymore.
don't ask him to, though.
I do have a vision. Instead of just to the crest of that, why not down to the other side, to the water? Why stop at the crest if we're going to, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got to have the vision of what could be before we can ask for what might be.
Yeah. Are there any other comments from the public? Yes, Terry Hopkins, San Luis Obispo. Terry, I have the staff report here in front of me, and I would just like to disagree with a comment on page 4. It's about the second to last paragraph, where it says, with no overriding public benefit. If these things were accepted, it seems to me there would be a tremendous public benefit from them. So I would encourage the Commissioners to consider accepting it,
second thing I'd like to say is that when I've offered people a gift in the past and they turn it down, that hurts. Now, I don't think PG&E is going to feel hurt. However, I never offer it again, and they will not offer it again. If this gets turned down now, I don't think they'll ever have the opportunity again of such an opportunity. And my last point is, as someone who has done work for and with people with disabilities, I think it's very disrespectful to assume that they're going to all walk along that trail. They're not going to walk along that trail. And you couldn't push their wheelchairs along that trail. I think it's important for everybody to do it. I think it's against the law to not offer access to them.
Now, I feel like I really need to respond. Are there any other public comments? Okay, please.
Barton Denon. I live in Dismal Beach. I'm a member of EcoSlow, although I'm not very active there, and a very active member with the Hatcher Coast Trail docents. And what the lady said, I agree. The port expansion, I've enjoyed and utilized those facilities since 1960, however many of those years were. I think you can be visionary. You should be visionary, and it's. I think it is a one-shot deal. Grab all you can. Those gentlemen are right. That whole darn mountain belongs to me and all of us as county residents, users of the port, state residents, people. We need to hold on to land. We need to grab land back. And you have a chance to do that. And well, you know where I stand. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Andrew Christie, Sierra Club. I just wanted to underline the point that the lady made regarding the staff report's conclusion that there's no overriding public benefit. I believe that was in reference to direct ownership or proper transfer of the land, in which they were advocating that the easement would be sufficient and you don't need to take the land into direct ownership. That's not correct. If you just accept the easement without the transfer of property, you will be, as has been pointed out, forever beholden to the directives of PG&E and the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. If they ever change their policies, if the NRC ever makes any policy change regarding the lands of U.S. nuclear power plants, you're just going to have to say, I'm sorry, there's no access to the lighthouse this week because of the NRC, because their directives trump any conservation easement. Unless you own that land, free and clear, you will forever be subject to the directives of the NRC.
Okay, that's a question that I'm going to want to expand upon as we take this to committee.
Or you bring it back?
I'll bring it back.
Go ahead. No,
I want to continue this. I can bring it back for comment from the commissioners, but I want to continue it until our February meeting because I have a whole list of questions that I would like to have answered before we make a decision on this item. But please, if you have comments, go ahead.
No, I'm listening to you. I just if you're closing down public comment, then you close it down. And then you bring it
I have closed it down to public comment. I think I detected that there was no one else. I'd like to go over the questions that I have developed for this and that I will take to liability implications, insurance implications. If we consider real property dedication of the Hatcher Coast Trail, some indication from a qualified entity of interest in managing the program. And I want to emphasize that policy has to be independent of our current people of good intentions. It has to stand on its own in the future. We can't say, oh, PG&E is a good guy now, or this is a good commission now, and we're all going to hold hands and have a good time, because the agreement has to be as good 50 years from now as it is now. It can't depend upon current personalities and intentions. So this is something that I really want to explore and attempt to resolve. before we bring this back to the commission for decision. Brian, do you have any comments?
Yeah, I do. These are important issues to work on, and I intend to work on them. And my commitment to the lighthouse has gone as deep as anyone else in this room, and I'm not going to get into my personal histories related to the lighthouse and the first time I went out there. But I will say this, that anybody who knows me, anybody knows the commitment that I've put into projects that I've worked on, know that when I say this, this is an empty banter at a commission table and some sort of gesticulation for the camera. I intend to work on these, and they are serious questions, and I appreciate former Commissioner Jenkins' admonitions. That's one of the traditions of Port St. Louis. We do listen to our other commissioners. And this happens to be a very fine, small republic that responds well. We happen to be a Class B federal port of entry. I did go to Washington, D.C. We did get money for the breakwater. Looking at our lighthouse property and looking at the future of the district, those are all important aspects, but some things have to take certain steps in time. And those are all important considerations for me. In the meantime, it is absolutely important that people with disabilities, other people who can't necessarily access the lighthouse. I have many friends who come to me, and I don't give them the preferential treatment that they want to go to the lighthouse. It's an incentive for me then to work on behalf of my constituents and those people who are important. And I know that we've been looking at the possibility. Diligently, they work behind the scenes to discuss things, to set something up so that it is ready and ripe for presentation. This wasn't ready and ripe. And I also know, historically, with regard to access, there were other projects that required mitigation, and there was a perception at the Coastal Commission that there was no problem with access. And that was based upon comments at the hearing. So, yes, I agree, there may be lost opportunities. I don't intend to lose opportunities, but I intend to work a plan. As my granddaddy always used to say, he said, plan your work and work your plan. And as Marlon taught me, steady by jerks, right, Marlon? That's all I have to say. Jack?
No, I don't think I'll say anymore.
John?
Carolyn, as chairperson, it is your right to send this to a committee, and I think that's what you'll probably do. But in my 8 years on this board, I've come to the realization that committees where a lot of good ideas go to die. And I don't want to see this one die. I've already made my views known on this bluff. I think it's a treasure. I think it's the piece that connects the entire harbor together, and it's time to be bold and to act bold. And this is an opportunity, and I think we'd be remiss, foolish, if we didn't grab it.
Thank you, John. I will send this to back to staff and back to committee to resolve questions if commission has any. If commissioners have any questions they would like to send to the committee, please contact us. I don't feel we have adequate information to make a decision on this tonight. I didn't feel that we had adequate information to make a decision on whether or not to move the entry gate back. I don't like to say no when we can say yes. I don't want to say yes when it's an irresponsible response. So with that, I will...
Well, I've got a comment.
Okay.
I agree that we certainly... Well, I don't know that much about business you guys, then. I want to make sure that it's to the public's benefit somehow or another, and that all the resources don't go from what I consider a more integral part of the harbor to another section of it. Here's a perspective. When we took over that lighthouse from the government accounting agency, and you were on board, do you remember all this stuff? We said that the lighthouse, wasn't a key property or a key issue with
it wasn't integral. You know, it was good and the whole shooting match, but we didn't want to put, this was 27 years ago, our limited time and resources into a lot of stuff at the lighthouse. All right? I mean, that's exactly the way it was. Form of Friends of the Lighthouse. Okay?
And that's the way it has been.
Okay. Well, you know, there's been a lot of time and effort spent on the lighthouse at this particular point, but what I'm saying is that it's pretty much the same thing. I'm not exactly opposed to this stuff, but I just want to know what I'm getting, what I'm stepping in before I step in. You know what I mean? So, you know.
You want to be sure the light at the end of the tunnel is not a locomotive?
I mean, as good as you can get it. I understand that, you know, that we'll never be able to answer all the questions, and we probably, you know, as more questions get answered, there's more questions that come up. But, you know, and I know that. I understand that. But I just, this is way too sketchy in my book. And I also believe that if you know, if there is this opportunity that, you know, that there's an opportunity, sort of like the Unocal pier here, Unocal gave the pier to Cal Poly and gave them $17 million to go along with it so that they can keep the pier going, build a new facility, hire new instructors, all right? And, you know, if this is one of the details, if the PG&E goes, okay, here you go, and they hand you the deed to the property, you go, gosh, you know, and then what happens? You know, I mean, so there's got to be some more things in here. There's got to be some more components to this, and that's what I'm interested in. And I don't believe that we have anywhere close to the answers. I'm going to wonder if we can get them all.
Well, this is.
But that doesn't mean we can't start on it.
This is something that I don't quite understand. As Jay is. Is this something that we have to come to conclusions before the Board of Supervisors meeting?
And that's a good question. The reason it's on tonight's agenda is we wanted to show courtesy to the Planning Commission and the county for asking the questions. The timeline is the county's timeline, not the Harbor Commission's. No, the answer to your question is no. We will not have an answer to the Planning Commission's. We can answer the Planning Commission's questions at your leisure. So I would hate to have legal opinion on some of them. Some of them might take real estate or other consultants. I mean, they could be consultants involved, so you're incurring some costs. There are some limited funds available for consultings, but I mean, that all needs to be thought through, get permission to do that do the scope of work and everything. So I guess that's the long answer to your question is, don't let the timeline. I mean, this has been a great dialogue. This is, and you've asked some great questions. I mean, we're starting to solidify this. I think the committee should take your time and do a good job and find the right answer to all your questions. But don't let the timeline, don't let the May 7th date or whatever day the Board of Supervisors is going to meet push you, because it'll be too quick.
Okay, if we miss the Board of Supervisors,
The board, the supervisors may ask the same question. We say we're still deliberating and we don't have the answers for it. When we have the answers, we'll let you know. The process is still going to take a while. As Susan Devine indicated, it may be going to another agency. The state may get involved. So there's a few more months that you may have before a permit's issued. Even then, the permit's issued, the steam generator replacement is not slated for another year or so. To start, so you have time to.
We can introduce
the mitigation
anywhere along the process.
The mitigation measure may be a condition of approval by the Board of Supervisors or a state agency, and you can make your decision later and say, hey, we're interested in that in property activity. So you don't need to answer that question. We can't answer those questions now.
You said a couple hours ago it would have been a while.
We didn't realize that the questions were so complex, yeah. And we apologize for that. I mean, I want to take some responsibility here for putting this on the agenda. I didn't realize that it was going to be such a complex.
Well, I think it was good to put it on the agenda tonight.
It got the ball started.
To have the opportunity for public discussion and to have the opportunity to raise the questions that we're going to have to address.
And for Mr. Keff, maybe in the February meeting you can make a motion to move the gate and see how they vote on it then. you could always make a motion.
Thank you for that information, Jay. That's very nice.
Yes, I just want to make a quick comment.
PG&E.
is going to require, if you want the chance to study these issues and to look at them, that you ask for it, and that perhaps more than one commissioner be there to make the point that this commission needs some information about the list of items that you have addressed. So that's my suggestion. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Stu. Thank you very much.
I was ready for another 11-hour meeting here. 8 more to come.
I think with that, we'll move on to our...
Okay, so you're going to put it back in committee.
I'm sending it back to committee. And we will take the public comment that we've received into consideration. If any of you have any questions or issues that you would like to raise, you certainly may call us to have input into the committee's discussions.
So the committee's going to still stay with you guys? Cause
Yeah.
Did anybody else want more of the board package? We've got plenty other issues.
Are we taking a break?
I'd like to.
I think so.
Once you leave, we have to take a break.
You know what, Steve? Just when you know exactly what needs to go in there, somehow it gets turned 180.
You know that, Dave.
That was good.
Good discussion.
Yes.
Good discussion.
It got everything off of TDC. It got everything off of Top Dead Center. It's rolling now.